Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grey City Church.
God is so good to be in the house of the Lord. Yeah, let's all pray and ask the Lord to bless this time together. Lord, it's so good that we are together as your body, coming here into your presence and receiving your word, your nourishment into our body, so that, Lord, our bodies, our divine bodies, our inner man, the divine life that is inside of us will be strong. So, Lord, only your word will satisfy. Only your word will purify. Only your word will be the strength to our bones, the stirrer of our blood. So we ask of your word to be activated this morning from now to the end of the sermon in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love the way when Pastor came the other time, was some weeks ago, and he was really excited. I know it when Pastor is excited, because I've been serving him for the last 21 years. And he was really excited because in Nolamara campus, there was this 20-year-old 40-foot container that was at the side of the hall, and it was putting a lot of clutter from Nolamara. So a lot of things that people don't want, they would just put it in there and in there and in there. And 20-year-old 40-foot container can contain a lot of clutter. And so the morning when the man came from the church to remove that container out of that lot, I can see Pastor heaving a sigh of relief. It's like, whew. I know, you know what I'm saying? When your storeroom or your garage are cleared, it's like, whew, a sense of achievement. And so on watch night service, Pastor Pauline brought me to the place where the container was. And both of us stood there, and God gave me a picture of 2018. It's like, if you clear the clutter, if you clear the container, which can be there for 20 years or it can be 40 foot long, if you clear that space, like me and Pauline, as we stood there, we saw a space, such a fresh space created. Right now, I think Pastor has got ideas. He's now even more excited, because now there is fresh space. There is space to do a lot more things in that area. And so a lot of things are going through his head. But this gives me a good picture of 2018. How we can clear clutter and how we can create space for God to move in. And I want to take the scriptures today from Leviticus chapter 6, verses 8 to 13. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Just now, we were told that Pastor Ian Peters will be our camp speaker. This sermon was really inspired by him, because when he preached that sermon, he talked about Leviticus in such a beautiful way, but such a brief way. You know, sometimes when you get a slice of good meat, you know, if you go to a French restaurant, you get a slice of really good meat, it's like, wow, you wish for more. That's exactly how I feel. Or like I was watching this program on Netflix. Yes, I do watch Netflix. And there was this French chef by the name of Alexandria Coyolin or something. And he cooked so well. He was a 2-star Michelin chef. Cooked so well, there was this scallop that he cooked that was so good. The diner came in, took that scallop, wiped a tear off, and ordered for another one. That's exactly how I felt when I was in the presence of the Lord, listening to Pastor Ian Peters, the camp speaker. And my heart was set on fire. And so this is really an extension of what that sermon was. And I believe the fire of God is still present today in our midst. The Holy Spirit never changes. The Holy Spirit is constant. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He is in our midst. And today, if we are open to Him, if we let our altar be open to Him, and the Lord will want to come and transform us and change us, change our life. Amen? So let's read Leviticus chapter 6 and verses 8 to 9. And then Romans 12, 1. It says there in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8 to 9, the Lord said to Moses, give Aaron and his sons this command. These are the regulations for the burnt offering. The burnt offering is to remain on the altar hearth throughout the night till morning. And then in Romans 12, 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You see, Aaron and his sons, and I'm going to give you a little bit of history. Aaron and his sons were the priestly class, and they were from the tribe of Levi. And they've got a job to do. Their job was to offer the burnt offering. And for the burnt offering, they need to take to the altar the best unblemished male bull. It must be a whole. It cannot be cut up. It must be a whole. And so it's really very costly for ancient believers to bring the burnt offering to the temple for the priests to lay it before God. But the sacrifice was then laid on the altar, and then there is going to be that fire that will burn the sacrifice so that it becomes a fragrance and a sweet aroma to the Lord. That was the burnt offering in ancient worship. You see, it's really important to know this because it has reflection on later on the New Testament and what we believe in. See, the burnt offering is an act of surrender from a thankful heart. So if you bring a burnt offering to the temple of God, it must come from a thankful heart. It's like, thank you, Lord, for blessing us. And in fact, 2 Chronicles tells us that the priests were to present the burnt offerings with rejoicing. So the burnt offerings get put on the altar, but with rejoicing and singing, because King David ordered rejoicing and singing to come with the burnt offering. See, for the ancient believer, giving God the burnt offerings is a very key part of the practice of relationship with God. It is a communion right there at the altar. The believers worshiping God with a burnt offering and God receiving the burnt offering. It was a communion. The most perfect burnt offering is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Thank God for that. He was the most perfect sacrifice, the most perfect burnt offering on the altar. He was the sweetest aroma to the Father. He brought the best fragrance to the Father because Jesus yielded the most perfect surrender of his human will to God in temptation, in suffering, in agony on Calvary's cross. And his sacrifice was entire, it was unreserved, and it was an offering completely to the Father. That's why Jesus was known as the most perfect burnt offering. My first point is this. We need to lay out our lives just like Jesus did. Because in Romans 12:1, you are called the sacrifice. You are called the living sacrifice. And you are to lay your life on the altar. When you are able to completely lay your life on the altar, it is like a fragrance, an aroma, a sweetness to our God. Let me say this to you. You might not know this. When we come to church every Sunday, give our lives to the Lord, give our hands to the Lord. Some of you do raise your hands when you're worshiping the Lord. That's good. The Lord sees your hand. Those who don't raise your hand, that's good. Your hands are down there, but your heart may be worshiping the Lord. Whatever it is, your posture. God loves you to express yourself. And God is responsive to you. Whenever we raise our hands, whenever we put our hearts before the Lord, listen to this. Listen to this. This is so important. The Lord is a person. The Lord is personal. He sees us. I may not see you because my back's turned against you. I mean, not turned against you as turned against you, but my back is, you know, you're seeing my facing you, not turned against you. My back's facing you. You have got good words there. And the Lord is personal. He is responsive. And He will be moved by your offerings. He will be moved towards you because God has rich emotions towards you. He is captured. He is totally captivated by His people when they lay out their lives for Him on a Sunday morning, on a Monday morning, right through the week to the weekend. God is touched by our commitment, by our sacrifice, and by our surrender. And I'm impressed to write this in my note. I said, Jesus says, thank you to you for your unreserved devotion to Him. He sees your zeal, all those years of toiling, all those years of working. The Lord sees your zeal. The Lord sees your tireless enthusiasm for His work. And the Lord sees it and the Lord is satisfied. But how do we give ourselves to God unreservedly? Some people give their lives to God because they are afraid of Him. Some people serve God because they feel bad if they don't. They feel guilty, they feel ashamed. Everyone is serving, so I better do. But today I hope to give you a fresh perspective. And that is to serve the Lord, to give ourselves on the altar of God. And there's a really key phrase in Romans 12:1. Beautiful phrase. If that is the meat, that is that meat. That is that scallop. It says, in view of God's mercy, you give yourself to God in view of God's mercies. See, God's mercies is the goodness of God towards us when we are in distress, or when we are in misery. And God's mercies are fresh and new every morning. And you know what? God wants to reveal His mercies to us in the way that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind can conceive. God wants to reveal Himself to us, and He's new every morning. His mercy, His love towards us when we are in distress and in misery. You see, in view is very interesting. In view of God's mercy is very interesting. It's like it's in the radar. When you are in the radar of God's mercies, that means you can see God's mercy, then you yield yourself to God. And I tell you, your service will be different. Here in Perth, if you want to buy a house, you can view it. In fact, you go to the show area or the showroom or the show flat, and you see everything as you would buy it. So if you like a certain house in a particular suburb and you've got a piece of land in whatever suburb you bought, you can actually, in view of the showroom or in view of the show flat, do the same design in whatever area you have. It gives me a good picture. If we give ourselves to God in view of His mercies, means you see His mercy and you can't help it. It's so good, you can't help it. But you want to be able to serve Him. That's God's mercy. Many of us have been mature Christians a long time. I pray that God's mercy is not strange to you. In fact, Buck gave us an idea of how much God's mercy is. 10,000 reasons to actually count His mercy. So I hope that you can have like a mercy scorecard for God. Whenever God shows goodness to you in distress and
in trouble, you say, oh, God, you are so merciful. One thing, Lord. Man, you. Because when the more you know of God's mercies, the more your mind is consumed with God's mercy and you can see God's mercy, you will see more of God's mercy. You think you are the only one who drive a Mazda, a black Mazda. And then when you go on the road, so many Mazdas, black ones. Why? Because your mind is so primed to see something you own. Am I correct? So if you know that God is merciful, and God comes to you when you are in distress, and God is good to us when we need Him, and you keep keeping score of that, I'm telling you, you will keep seeing God's mercy. Boxing Day, I got excited. I talk about excitement here. I also got excited, you know, but mine started in Boxing Day, on Boxing Day. My daughter was back, the cat was back. And I thought I'll just do good meals for her when she's here. You know, she loves my cooking. Not because my cooking is good, because it's mom, you know. And so I really wanted to give her a good run of all the scallops and things like this. And so I went marketing, wow, grocery shopping and everything. I think it must be quite heavy. I'm not sure. I think there were quite a few bags. And I was trying to cross the road. And it was a two-lane road this way and then another two-lane road the other way. And so what I did was, yeah, I crossed the road as usual. I carried my stuff, you know, I went to the middle of the road. I was wearing flats, you know, don't think it's heels. It was just flats. And I think there were some wood chips, probably not very level. And the minute I stood up there, in a second I was down on the road. And of course, there were oncoming cars the other side, but they were going quite slowly because there was a traffic light up, you know, the road there. And it was coming quite slowly, but I fell totally on the road. My bubble tea got mixed with the blood from my deep cut on my finger. It was like, whoa, red, you know. My shin were totally shaved, you know, just shaved. And swollen straight away. And by the time I got up, and I'm talking about the mercies of God, yeah? So how does the mercy of God figure in this whole thing? Yeah, I think at the end of the sermon, Chinese service, they all came to ask me how my shin was. I was trying to tell them the mercies of God. They should be coming to me and say, "Oh, God is so merciful to you." But they came to ask me for my pain. It's no longer painful. So rest assured. But I won't be wearing dresses for a long time. But that's okay. The mercies of God were so good. So good, when I fell over, had my shin shaved, and blood all over the bubble tea, I got up. Guess who was behind me? One police car. Young policeman asked, "Is everything all right?" And I think I must be shocked. He decided to come down from the police car and he helped me with the grocery shopping. The mercies of God. People helping me with my grocery shopping. He wanted to carry my bag. I said, no, let me carry the bag because he will look very feminine for a policeman to carry my... So I said, no, let me carry it. He insisted and brought all the shopping to the car. And the mercies of God is so good. Right where I fell was Chemist Warehouse. And after putting my bag in my car, the police escorted me. Young, handsome, tender, compassionate. Never seen policemen like that. Brought me to the Chemist Warehouse. Chemist Warehouse, the pharmacist, attended to my shin, totally free of charge. Tender, loving care. I won't tell you which Chemist Warehouse. If not, you'll be draining all their resources there. And it was amazing. God is so good. And I tell you what, the fall was so elegant. Didn't get me on my knee or the joints because I had cooking to do for the whole week. My menus were planned and I was able to move around. Nobody knew I was hurt. Nobody, because it was just incredible. God's mercies is so good. You see, God's goodness
comes to us when we are in distress or when we are in misery, and His goodness is fresh every morning. You need to trust that. If you can trust that, if you know that God is in control of every detail of your life, if you can keep a score of God's mercy, your mind, your spirit man will look out for God's mercy. And when you're able to do that, you wouldn't be reluctant to give yourself to God. You will be able to lay your lives out to God, and it won't be a chore. It will be an expectation of the greater possibilities and deeper experiences with God. Lay your life out to Him. Lay your life out to Him, whatever that means to you. And like what Pastor Pauline says, you will begin to see miracles happen again and again in your daily lives. Let's read Leviticus chapter 6, verses 10 to 11. And it says there, "The priest shall then put on his linen clothes with linen undergarments next to his body, and shall remove the ashes of the burnt offering that the fire has consumed on the altar, and place them beside the altar. Then he is to take off these clothes and put on others, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean." And then in Romans 12, I just took out one part of it, is to offer your bodies as holy to God. Norman read that beautiful version just now about the altar. The altar is your meeting with God. Of course, in the church, the altar is usually in the front when we call for an altar. It can happen in your house. It can happen in your seat in church. It can happen in your car. The altar is your meeting with God. And we read from these few verses that only holy things can come into contact with the altar. In other words, when the burnt offering, when the bull in the ancient time was put on the altar, the bull becomes holy. It is by the sheer mercy of God that when we offer our bodies to God as a sacrifice, God accepts it. And God sanctifies it by the Holy Spirit, and He calls us holy. So what happens is when we consecrate our life to God, give our lives to God, God at the altar sanctifies you, sanctifies the living sacrifice. So how do we become holy? There is only one way. We consecrate ourselves to God on a daily basis. When we consecrate ourselves to God, we are dedicating ourselves to the worship and the service of God, and we can separate ourselves unto God to belong to Him. See, the priests were dressed in linen. And linen is very interesting. Of course, nowadays, you know, we do wear linen clothes and all that. But linen is very interesting in the ancient times for the ancient believer, because linen represents purity and represents holiness. The Bible tells us, in fact, this was Jesus' word. He says, "The pure shall see God." I would say this. The purer you are and the holier you are, the freer the Holy Spirit can work within you. And if we want to be holy, even as God is holy, it is to dedicate ourselves and consecrate ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Hear this, it is not good enough to be good. We all try to be good. In fact, the world tells us, you know, some of you believers are not as good as us. We are good as well. That's right. It is not good enough to be good. Only God is good. Remember what Jesus said, only God is good. It is good to be good, but it's not enough to be good. Because what God is after is not after good people. Because good people can be non-believers as well. And if we are only good, we are only common. But we don't want to be common. We don't want to be common. We want to be holy. God is not after common people. God is not after only good people. God is after
good Christians, but holy Christians. See, when we consecrate ourselves before God, we experience a transition from being common to being holy. I pray that 2018 will be a time that we will ask and desire the fresh fire and the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit, and we'll put ourselves on the altar as a life pleasing to Him. But you see, there are things that can hinder us from being a holy person, and we need to take it out. In fact, the priest, in the few verses I read just now, they were to change their clothes and carry the ashes to an outside place that is ceremonially clean and put it there. We are to remove anything that can hinder or quench the free action of the Spirit within us that prevent the fire from burning in us. You see, when the priests look at the fireplace, you know, especially when there's a lot of burning, you know, we serve the Lord and a lot of burning, a lot of activities and all that. There were a lot of ashes down there in the fireplace. So the priests were asked to take the ashes out from the fireplace into another place so that there is room to burn more sacrifices. And so there are some things that can hinder us from experiencing the free action of the Spirit, prevent us from being on fire for God. We need to remove some of those things or all of those things so that the Spirit can fill us with the disposition, with the character, with the nature of Jesus, so that everything that we do then becomes spiritual and holy. So what are some possible ashes that can come in the way of us being fullest in our surrender to Him? I can think of two. I don't know about the other reasons, but I can only think of two. I think some ashes can come in the way of our surrender, like, for example, our wrong beliefs of God. If we believe that we only just do for God instead of being with God, sometimes that can become an ash. Because we can pack our Christian life with so many activities that we go on an overdrive of adrenaline. And we can be doing so many things. We are so afraid of things falling apart. We are so afraid of things going wrong. And so we persevere. We try and hold things together. And we get busy. We really get into a frenzy and into an overdrive. Then the question is, then is it wrong to work for God? Of course not. I've been working for God for all these good years. I really, really enjoy working for God. I just feel that my strength just get more and more. Lucinda, you're so right. You understood what I'm saying. You just get more and more. Just get recharged, you know. Every time you think it's finished, it's like God gives it to me again, you know. And of course not. Working for God, of course, is not wrong. I really recommend that you work for God and work really hard for God. But if working for God is not nourished by a deep interior life with God, it will be eventually contaminated by either ego or power or needing approval from other people or buying onto wrong ideas of success. And we can get tired, we can go into a teeth-clenching fever rather than a childlike dependence on our merciful God. God loves to hear us over and over again asking Him, "Oh God, help us. Oh God, bless me. Oh God, help me to go through this." God loves to hear our childlike dependence on Him. Church, doing things for God must flow from a life with God. Or sometimes our wrong beliefs of God, we kind of like believe God to be the driver of performance and showmanship. We think God is after performance. The more you perform, the more you work, God is most pleased. We think God is a driver of showmanship.
The more you articulate, the more you do this so well, God is really impressed. Actually, God is more interested in just raising sons and daughters. God just wants to tell us that He is our Father and we are His children. So some of the ashes of wrong beliefs of God need to be removed so that God can fill us again with greater things. Sometimes the ashes of God comes this way, you know, like someone was saying, he says, I'm afraid to ask God. I said, why? You're a Christian for some time. He says, I'm just afraid to talk to God. I said, why? He says, because just in case He will ask me to do something I don't want to do. Don't trust God. We have a mentality of God that He is most unkind. That if we ask Him for an egg, God will give us a stone. If we ask God for a fish, He will give us a snake. God is not like that. Or we think God will only love us when we are most miserable. If God doesn't see us enjoying ourselves, God is like saying, yay, you've got that great attitude of a child of God. Humble and poor, impoverished, miserable. No, God is not like when we surrender ourselves to God, the opposite is true. God wants to reveal our deepest and truest self, and He wants to redeem our nature so that it can blossom, it can flourish, it can thrive, like what Buck sang just now, it can thrive freely. God wants to take out those false constructs, those false platforms, those false things, take them all away so that He can enable the true selves to emerge. That's why we need an altar with God daily, in our homes, in our cars, in the church. We need an altar where we can give ourselves to God and sweep out all these wrong beliefs of God or running away from God because we think God is not going to be so merciful. We need to wipe this away so that we can come to Him wholeheartedly and we can give ourselves to Him. Well, this year, if we have got some of those hindrances or even some of those things that you are thinking at the moment, we need to ask the Lord to help us remove those things from our fireplace so that there is a place created for God to move mightily in. Remember the container that needs to be removed so that the new space can be used to create even greater things that God wants in your life. The last point is this, and that's found in Leviticus chapter 6, verses 11 to 13. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 11 to 13 says, the fire must be kept burning on the altar. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. This is a reflection. This is a shadow from the Old Testament to tell us about God in the New Testament. What does it mean? It gives us a very beautiful image of God, just like what Pastor preached some weeks ago. It gives us an image of God, that God is all-powerful, that God will give you His provisions, and that God will give you His presence, and that it will never fail you. You will continually come like the fire. The fire that kept burning is how God is going to be continual towards you in His power, in His presence, in His providence. He will be unchangeable. He'll be everlasting in His protection. Because in the Father, there is no shadow. There is only light. And God doesn't slumber and God doesn't sleep. So the fire that kept going on the altar where the burnt offering is going, that represents the unchanging nature of God and telling you and me that God's love is continual like a grand feast. And if we consecrate ourselves before Him on a daily basis and begin to see His mercies, God will give you life like a grand feast. That's God's promise. See, every morning, the priests of Aaron, they will pour firewood into the fire. Because there's already a space created. After all the ashes were removed, there is a space for the firewood. So they pour all the firewood into the fire to make sure that the fire is sustained. God's fire must keep burning. The fire of God is to go on and on and on to all generations. And we need to pray for our generations. I know Pastor is a big thing with Pastor, that he wants to see future generations still able to worship God and worship God here. That's why Pastor poured his life into this church, into the church building extending, and because we see the future generations. The fire of God must go on and on and on. But the fire of God needs us to consecrate ourselves to serve the Lord, to pray, so that the fire of God goes on and on. We are called the kingdom of priests, and we are to be diligent so that we can be enthusiastic in our divine life. When we pour ourselves to God, we are agreeing with God on a daily basis that, yes, Lord, I'm reliant on your presence. Lord, I'm reliant on your power. Let us not be negligent to devote ourselves to God, because that can interrupt a lot of spiritual action that God intends for us to enjoy. God wants us to worship Him, and God receives our daily worship without fail. The beautiful part about the burnt offering is there is that fellowship offering, and there's a piece of fat that belongs to the fellowship offering that was put on the altar. It represents that the relationship between God and the worshiper is one of father and son. When we come before Him, sacrifice ourselves on the altar, consecrate ourselves to God, is to say, oh God, we are your sons, we are your daughters, and you are our daddy, you are our father. And when we do that at the altar, we become spiritually renewed. I pray that the pouring of our lives, when God asks us to pour our lives into service, the pouring of our lives come from a relationship with God. I was just told some weeks ago, someone said, God is very talkative. First time I heard, so many years of theology, I never heard that God was talkative, but God talks, yeah? And God loves to talk. God loves to talk with His children. He said, but God don't talk to me. Of course, not audibly. I've never even heard the audible voice of God. Huh? I'm not sure if I were to hear the audible voice of God, whether I can stand there and still be able to live. I'm not sure. But we all hear the voice of God. Maybe we need to tune in a little bit. Pray, open our eyes, read the scriptures. Something will catch your attention, and God will reveal to you. God will speak to you. Let the pouring of our life come out of a loving and covenantal relationship with God. God is talkative. He will speak to us as a friend. In John 15, He says, I don't call you servant. I call you friend. How daring we are to call ourselves friends of God. But that's Jesus' permission. He calls us His friend. I pray in 2018, may the Lord speak to you so clearly and you know what to pour out to Him. For Mary Magdalene, it was a bottle of perfume. For the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it was his lunch. For Dorcas, it was his sewing skills. For the craftsmen at the Temple of Jerusalem, it was the expertise, their hands, their very skillful details. For King Solomon, it was the 1,000 burnt offerings, 1,000 bulls, complete, pure, unblemished, that was brought into the temple of God. Whatever it is that God has put into your hands to give, put into your hands to bless somebody, to bless your household, I pray that out of that loving relationship with God,
in view of God's mercy, that you will pour out your lives so that 2018 will be a time where you experience the response that you can give to a loving God. Respond to Him because of that loving relationship. I pray every single day in 2018, you will be like a beginner of God. You begin with God and begin to learn from Him and let Him tutor you. Lay out your lives. Lay out your lives before the Lord. And take out whatever that will hinder you from being fully devoted to Him. Take them out. And begin to pour out your life to God and to others. I pray that 2018 will be a fresh year for you. Amen. Let us all pray.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.